We talked about in class this morning, we talked about desire. And I'd like to move on from this point and go ahead and move into the part of where we begin to feel that desire in the heart, which we all discussed that this is actually the mind. Okay? We as Christians have to have our heart in the right place. The song that we just sang goes right along with this lesson. Thank you. I know you didn't, but it's really neat how some of this stuff works. But isn't that true? I mean, where is your heart at? Where is your desire? Where do you want to be at? Why are you here? All these things are important to us as Christians because this is the foundation of Christianity. If our heart is not into it, if our desire to please God is not there, then we're simply going through the motions. And this is what I hope to talk about, that we will hopefully look at something in these verses that will cause us to be more enthused as Christians, that we will look for opportunities to be the Christians that we have to be, not that we should be, that we have to be, and to look for the opportunities that we can be the shine light in our communities. You know, it wouldn't do us a bit of good if we wanted to get away from the world completely and just make our own area and like we'll all go build our houses in one little area and kind of like we know some people that do, and then we're never going to get out and we're never going to look for opportunities to show people about being a Christian's about. What good would it do for us as shining lights? I mean, what good would us to have our hearts all in the right place if we're not getting out and showing that heart? And some of that's what we're going to talk about this evening is the work. So that's the question that I want you to think about as we go through this lesson today. Where is your desire and where is your heart? In this Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look at these verses again. Therefore I speak unto them in parables, because they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Do you understand what you read? Do you understand what it means to be a Christian? To rise above what the rest of the people in the world are doing. To rise above these people that go to church. There's so many people that go to church that simply are going through the motions. They're just there because they need to be there or they have to be there. To rise above the temptation to change the scriptures around to fit your style of life. There's so many people that do that today. They want to go to heaven. They want to feel like they're right in the sight of God, but they're unwilling to do it in His way. They want to take the scriptures and they want to take portions of the scriptures or take the scriptures and change them around and change the meaning of them so they can go ahead and live their lives the way that they really want to live, but yet they feel like they're going to get to heaven. How many times have you heard somebody say, well, God and I have an understanding? I've heard that so many times. I see many of you shaking your heads. I've heard that so many times, and it's so sad. The only true understanding is God sent His Son to this earth to die upon that cross. And therefore, since His Son died upon that cross, I think He has the right to tell us how He wants it to be. Don't you think so? Yeah. I absolutely believe that. Well, here in Matthew 13, beginning with verse 14 now, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear. I'm sorry. Ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. In other words, they hear it, they see it, but they don't perceive it. They don't want to understand it. Well, that's going to... Oh, wait a minute. That's going to cramp my style. That's going to get in the way of what I really want to do. Come on, God. Give a little. You know? Work with me. That's the way people want to lead their lives. Verse 15, and this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now look at that verse. It says that if they do these things that they're supposed to be doing, I shall convert them. In other words, I will change them from the person they was to the person that they should be. Have you changed? Have you changed from being the person you used to be before you became a Christian? Are you ever changing? Are you ever, forever looking for opportunities to become a better Christian? Where is your desire? Where's your heart? See, you got to move that thing once in a while. Yeah, where is your heart? I want you to stop and look at this word. Two words in this verse 15 here. Waxed gross. Have you ever messed with wax? Nasty, isn't it? Sticks to your fingers. It's kind of oily residue. It's everything about it's nasty. And then it uses the word gross here. You know what the definition of waxed gross is? Inattentive? Stupid? That's kind of a rough word, isn't it? Stupid? Insensible. Have you ever been accused of one of these three words? And I don't mean when I've done something wrong. You know, I'm always in trouble for something. But, you know, in seriousness, what would you feel like at the end of your time here upon this earth for God to look at you and say, you were inattentive, you were stupid, and you were insensible. I showed you the light. I give you my word. I promised that you, if you obeyed me and followed after me, that there would be a crown for you in heaven. But because you waxed gross, because you chose not to listen to these things that I showed you and I give you, that I presented to you, you're not going to be a part of this wonderful opportunity. That's pretty scary, isn't it? It puts a different light on the Scriptures. It puts a different understanding of why it's important that we do what the Scriptures tell us to do. Why we change our desires. Why we change our heart. Dull of hearing. First ingredient to faith is hearing. If you don't hear the Word of God, how are you going to know what you need to do? You know, it's kind of like you got this new toy, or not a new toy. Nick got a brand new grill yesterday, and they said it took about all afternoon. What would happen if he'd just started slamming things together and not look at the instructions? And sometimes he does that, but what would happen if you take a piece of, you know, equipment, you know, it's got to be done right? I mean, what if you turned the hose wrong or around wrong on the tank? Or what if something was that feeds the gas? That you got a chance of the thing blowing up on you, don't you? What's the last thing you want to do is when you're getting ready to cook the grill to blow? Not only do you ruin the steaks, you're probably going to mess up your hairdo too, you know? Well, not Keith. But anyhow. Instructions are important. So when we put these things together, they're put together for right. And that's the way the Word of God is. And as far as we as Christians, it's there for our instruction so that we do it right. But if your heart and your desire is not in it, then you could have this list of instructions and it's absolutely meaningless because you're going to toss it aside and you're going to bully your way through it and try to get it done. And it don't work. It does not work that way. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, it says there, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Hearing what he wants us to do. Hearing his instruction. Obeying that instruction from your heart. In Philippians chapter 1, let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, please. In Philippians chapter 1, beginning there in verse 6 and down through 7. Be confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have in you my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense of the confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Are you a partaker in the Lord? Is your heart in the right place? Are you selfishly refusing to humble yourself and give yourself to the Lord? I want you something. When we were kids, I've gone to church basically my whole life. And so one thing of the things that we used to do, we had a pool in the backyard. And one of the things us kids used to do was we used to baptize each other. Because we knew it was important, there was something really neat about it, and you know, matter of fact, I remember, I still to this day, it gives me chills thinking about it, but I can remember, you know, they would part that curtain at church, and these people would step down in this water, and here I was a kid, I didn't understand, but I knew it was something important, because people would just, it was quiet, and everybody was focused on the moment, and so I knew that was important, and so we're going to go home, we're going to practice. Do you think I was baptized when we were doing that? Do you think my sins was washed away? Might have got a little bit of dirt from behind my ear because Mom couldn't get me to get in the tub, but you know, I think that's why they bought the pool. But anyhow, why is baptism essential to salvation? Because the Bible says it is. That's why. No more, no less. Are you going to humble yourself and give yourself to God and do what he asks you to do? Or are you selfishly going to throw them instructions away and do what you want to do? God, you got to understand me. It's just because I'm the way I am. I think you're going to lose that one. Their eyes are closed. It says there in those verses also that their eyes are closed. People today can have that perfect will of God right in front of them and totally take something out of it that's not there. Keith, remember when we was in Nebraska and we was having our Bible study that one night, and that I don't remember his name. He's from here, from Terre Haute, but he had changed. He had changed three different religions to be a preacher at all three different religions because he wanted to be a youth minister. And of course, that right there throws a little bit of a red flag, doesn't it? I mean, you change your religion three times just so you can have a job? Maybe you ought to make your job doing what God wants you to do, and then everything else would fall in its place. But anyhow, we're having our Bible study. And sitting down and talking about the scriptures, and his definition of everything was, well, that's how you read it. Well, that's how you understand it. I don't take that from those verses. And finally, I went to a specific verse, and I wish to this day I could remember what it was. I can't. But I took a specific verse, and I read that verse. And I said, explain that to me. And he looked at me and he goes, well, I really can't. I said, what do you mean you can't? That's what it says. Well, that's your definition. No, that's what it says. But he refused to accept what that scripture said because it was conflicting to believe. It just floored me that he refused. He wouldn't even answer us because he knew anything that he said was going to make no sense. It gets so drastic. My dad tells a story of a guy who was having a study with a lady and baptism, and I don't remember which verse it was, but he kept taking her back to this verse, and she got so frustrated. You know what she did? She ripped the page out of her Bible. And so when the next time he came back to have a Bible study, he said, well, let's turn to that scripture. You know what she said? It's not in my Bible. It's not there. Yeah? she had ripped the page out. Now, where was her heart? Where was her desire? Had she humbled herself to please God? Absolutely not. It's the act of giving yourself to God, giving that heart to Him, saying, I will not selfishly ever again approach you. Where is your heart? Where is your desire? 2 Peter. Let's all turn to 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. As also in all epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they, this is why it's hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. What do you mean rest? It means they go to sleep? No, rest here in this definition means twist. They twist, okay? Unstable twist as they also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. But what? But grow in the grace and in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Such beautiful verses. If your heart's in the right place. But terribly scary verses. If your heart is not. Because that verse is very, very clear. That if you're unwilling to give your heart to God and give Him the glory, then you're twisting the scriptures around to fit your own life, to fit your own true desires, your own wants and wishes, your own selfishness, to please yourself. And what's the answer to them scriptures? To their own destruction. Now I want you young people, you got got a wonderful group of young people here. When you go to school and your friends are trying to get you to do something that you know without a doubt that you're not supposed to do, what's your answer? It's a big temptation, isn't it? But you want to know something that's kind of scary? It never goes away. Just because you get older, don't mean it gets easier. But if your heart is in the right place, then you can rise above it. You can make it. You can be a leader, not a follower. You know, that's one thing I stressed to my children the whole time that they were growing up, from the time that they was able to, we was able to talk, sing songs in the car and stuff like that. I encourage them to always be a leader. You are leaders. Don't be a follower. And that goes for all of us, doesn't it? Absolutely goes for all of us. In Acts chapter 28, you know, these verses are so important, but in Acts chapter 28 and 26 through 28 is the same account that was read earlier. Matter of fact, you can find it in Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8, and it all comes from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. But, with that all in mind, in verse 27 of Acts 28, it says, should be converted, I should heal them that they may hear it. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to hear the truth? Then accept it. Let Him open up your heart and humble it in service to Him. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, it says there, but on the good ground are they which are in an honesty of good heart. Let me read that again because I kind of stumbled there. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Don't just get baptized, but they keep it and bring forth fruit in patience. Are you being fruitful? You know, we talked about this morning in class about being a teacher, rising above the milk. Do you guys, are you guys above the milk now? You can be. You can actually start on the meat of the word. Why are you a Christian? Why do you go to church on Sunday? Well, maybe I want to go ride my dirt bike or something like that. Maybe I want to go fishing. My buddies are all going out Saturday night. That's the one in front of what? Everybody. Where are they going? What are they getting ready to do? Are you a leader? And I don't mean get in the car and drive. Turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, please. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 38. They're trying to tempt Jesus here, okay? Have you ever been tempted? Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And this is Jesus' answer to him. In verse 37, Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. How beautiful are those verses? If they're not, then maybe you need to read it a little bit deeper. Humble yourself and let those words sink in. Because that's what the problem was here. They didn't really listen to these words. What they went on, and it says here later on, they went on and had a great discussion amongst themselves. And they weren't concerned about the fact that verses meant. They were concerned about the fact that they couldn't trip Jesus up. They were trying to tempt him. They were trying to make him make a mistake. And he hit him right where they needed to hit at, right in the middle of the eyes, right between here and he, I mean, didn't get it. People knew the Mosaic Law. They knew it. They knew it probably backwards and forwards. Because they didn't want to accept it, they wouldn't accept it. You know, I got a good friend that I work with every day, and he's told me he's read the Bible 3 or 4 times, at least, from front cover to the back cover, but he still doesn't go to church. And I asked him one time, I said, you read the Bible, isn't it important that you at least want to go to church? Yeah, you're probably right, but I can't find a church that I like. Well, I said, well, let's have a Bible study. I have offered him numerous times, anytime. I promise, I said, I won't bring man's books or anything like this that everybody else wants to bring that he knows. I mean, it's so interesting to talk to him because he knows enough to know that that's dangerous. Let me come over and have a Bible study with him. And you know, we all sit there and think, well, how terrible is that? Be careful that we aren't falling in the same trap. Because anything that we selfishly seek ourselves separates us from God. Where is your heart? Luke 8, in verse 15 again. But on the good ground are they which in an honesty of a good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. And I scriptures again, because they are so crucial to us as Christians. Without your heart, without your desire to please God more than you please yourself, you're in a scary position. Let's turn to James chapter 4. Got two more verses here to read. James chapter 4, 6 through 10. But He giveth more grace, wherewith He saith, God resisteth the proud. Is your pride in your way? Is your pride what keeps you from being the Christian that you know you should be? I mean, look at that. Think about that. But He giveth more grace, wherewith He says, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Humble your heart. Last verse, let's turn to 1 John. If you all please return, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. And I'll leave you with these two verses here. 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. But this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You can do it. You can rise above these temptations that the devil puts in front of us, if your heart is right in the sight of God. If there's anybody here this morning, anybody here this morning that has not been baptized, and you understand what it means, why you need to be baptized, stopping you? Why will you not humble yourself and give yourself to God? That pride out of your heart. Instructions away, grab a hold of them and boldly read them. Or, and your heart's not right, and you wish for the prayers of the congregation, if you're in need of either of these opportunities, please come forward as we stand and sing.